check out all the fields form and expert tips at thedogs.com.au.
So the Derby and the Futurity Finals at Wentworth Park tomorrow night, and across in the west, the Sky Racing Perth Cup and the Sky Racing Galaxy from Cannington. All that coverage on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing One. Thanks a lot, Stuart.
No problem. You take care, mate.
Stuart Turner from Greyhound Racing New South Wales. Star Stable is back for the autumn. It's horse racing's premier fantasy game with over $19,000 worth of prizes up for grabs. Come together. You can put your teams together. We'll, as I said earlier, get a mini league for Racing HQ so you can be a part of that. The championship races are certainly going to play a telling role in the Star Stable for the autumn. Play online or straight from your mobile. It all kicks off on March 7, so get cracking and register now at starstable.com.au. In a moment to Rangiora.
Heading into the world-famous Sydney Autumn Carnival, Sky Sports Radio is your racing leader.
I got a drink in my hand and my only suit. The vibe is in the air, I feel it. I love my life.
You can count on us to keep you updated on all the stars.
Protectionist, the Cup winner, has gone to the lead inside the last 100. He's just urging him along, Bowman, to find the line here. And now he goes quiet on Protectionist, eases him up close to home.
Let's get to the trainer of Protectionist. G'day, Chris Lees.
He's probably 15 kilos heavier than what he raced in the Melbourne Cup. It was a nice enough trial. He had a really good blow up.
Protectionist heads back to the track, and you'll get all the latest on Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader.
TAB Sports Talk is only minutes away with Sean Cosgrove and Nick Quinn. One of their guests, the Greater Western Sydney star forward Jonathan Patton, who sadly is out injured. He'll be one of the guests coming up on TAB Sports Talk. Stay tuned. This is the first at Rangiora. The favourite is Need Success at $4, both win and place.
Speedy comes into the straight with Craig Thornley by a length and a half. Ugret Trail second and Zazara parked. Three back along the inside as Gail Ludlow trailed down there by Henley Park, who's inside of Contella. Tornado Valley's two lengths away in the running line, racing three back in front of Squire John. Need Success is down next to the markers from Everybody Knows, and the speed's pretty good. A length and a half then to Nady's Bride Gem. Last of the pack, Merlot. Seven lengths to Johnny Alexander and tailed off as Shea Scotch. Beattie Lee, short of a circuit to go. 16.50 to run. A length and a half on the trailing Ugret and parked up third as Zazara. Gail Ludlow, three back the inside and a length and a half to Contella. Henley Park's four deep on the pegs and one and a half Tornado Valley around Need Success. Then Squire John Everybody Knows from Native's Bride Gem. A length and a half to Merlot. And about three lengths away then is Johnny Alexander and tailed off is Shea Scott. That is the order as they trot their way by the 1350 metre mark. And the leader is still Speedy, looking for an all-of-the-way maiden victory here. And she's out by a length and a half, Ugret. Mid-race move now from the favourite, Tornado Valley, who left that trailing spot to get out and around. And Squire John sent forward three wide quickly, two from Zazara. Everybody Knows is on the move and Gail Ludlow's back on the pegs. Three wide is Nady's Bride Gem, the middle Contella. Next is Henley Park from Need Success, two to Merlot, and five or six lengths to Johnny Alexander, with Shea Scott tailed out of the race. That's the order as they trot off the back and start this long run down the far side. And up front, it's pretty keen too, as out there three wide, Squire John's put it to Tornado Valley. Taking a trail now, Speedy's going to hand up to the favourite, didn't want to engage in that mid-race speed duel. Everybody Knows is three wide and one back. Between horses, Zazara from Nady's Bride Gem following Everybody Knows. Ugret three back the inside from Contella. Next then is Need Success, followed by Gail Ludlow. Further back is Merlot and Henley Park, last of the winning hopes. Tornado Valley at the 600 metre mark. Leads ahead on Everybody Knows, who's up to second. They were followed next by Speedy. Squire John's giving some ground. Nady's Bride Gem three wide around them. Ugret held up the inside. Next is Zazara, followed by Need Success, Contella, Merlot, and then Gail Ludlow, and last of the pack to turn Henley Park. Below the quarter, and Tornado Valley leads by a neck on Everybody Knows. Three wide is Nady's Bride Gem. Speedy waits on the Mainland Metals passing lane. Then Zazara, and next to come for home is Ugret. Tornado Valley, a neck on Everybody Knows. Speedy gets her inside run now. Tornado Valley and Speedy, the two to fight it out. Speedy came through very swiftly, went by Tornado Valley, who's back to third as Everybody Knows. Late Ugret may be a place chance, but it's all Speedy. Speedy to Speedy, won it by a length and a quarter, beat Everybody Knows and Tornado Valley. Fourth, your Gretna. Space the rest. Zazara Merlo, Contella. Next in, Nadie's Bright Gem. And then came Gail Ludlow, Need Success. Johnny Alexander, Henley Park, Shea Scott and Squire John.
Now the numbers here will be 2, 17 and 7. Number 2, Speedy, will get the money and pay $6.30, $1.70. Second, 17, everybody knows, $1.50. And 7, Tornado Valley, $1.50. 2, 17 and 7.
On Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader, it's time for Tab Sports Talk. Tab Sports Talk.
What about an eagle? What about an albatross?
Adam Scott, you are a star.
Bringing you the latest in local and international sports.
It is 6 past 10, Sky Sports Radio, Tab Sports Talk. Sean Cosgrove and Nick Quinn from tab.com.au this morning. Hey, Quinny.
G'day, Cozzy. How are you?
I'm good. Now, what's the Tiger Woods news?
Well, some big news coming through with Tiger Woods pulling out of the PGA Tour's Farmers Insurance Open. He played just 11 holes in his opening round. He was 2 over, and then he put the cue in the rack, citing back pain. Now, it's not known at this stage whether it's the same back that he had operated on, sorry, the same back injury that he had to have an operation on, but it doesn't look good for him. Obviously, he played last weekend where he shot his worst ever career round. That was when he shot an 82 and missed the cut by 12 shots. So, safe to say, unfortunately for Tiger Woods, the end might be coming a lot more abruptly than we had have anticipated.
Maybe the back pain of this, all those knives being put in there at the moment. Everyone sticking them in, aren't they?
Jeez, I don't think the media's been too harsh on him. Obviously, it was great to see him come back from injury, and the crowds following him go around last weekend, despite the fact he clearly wasn't playing well, was still astronomical. He's still the biggest name in world golf, but there's no doubt that I don't think he'll ever get back to a level where he could challenge the likes of Rory McIlroy.
I actually really felt sorry for him last weekend. Some of the chips he made, that was just, I looked and thought, he didn't look as bad as me.
He just doesn't look the same player, and I heard one commentator say, how many blokes in the world do you hear say, I used to have a bad back?
Yeah.
It's not one of those injuries, and especially with golf and so much pressure goes on and stuff like that. So it's obviously going to be incredibly difficult for Tiger to come back. As I mentioned, for those that just heard that didn't hear the news, he's just pulled out after 11 holes at the PGA Tour's Farmer Insurance Open. So not good for Tiger Woods and his many, many fans across the world.
All right. Now, 2.17.7 official. On the first at Rangiora Harness Racing, the trot there, 2.17 and 7. What else is making news, Quinny?
Well, there's plenty of sporting action coming up across the globe as well. There's some NBA today, and look, plenty people predict that this could be a grand final preview when the Cleveland Cavaliers go up against the LA Clippers. The game is on today. It's in Cleveland. They've got a 30-20 record for the season, and they've been well back. They've $1.50 in to $1.55. They're just starting to get rolling. They've got LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Love all playing today. And LeBron hasn't shied away from the fact the Cavs are now going for 12 in a row, and all of a sudden, after they were looking very shaky earlier in the season, they're starting to hit their straps. They were back from 100-1 into 325 with tab.com.au to win the NBA title. They're now a $6 chance. Personally, I reckon that $6 is terrific value, because if they keep winning like this, they'll win the East, go into the playoffs at about a $2.20 outsider.
All right, now we'll be talking with Matt Russell from Fox Sports straight after Winger Tui. We'll be hitting there in just a moment for the next year. This is for the Stayers over 2,200. And number one, Fast Profit, $532. It's the favourite. Now, the two, Mr. Spider-Man, is $13.50. Number three, Jimmy Two Shoes, $11.70. Four, Decanter, $8.30. Five, Avow, $13. Six, No Rosettes, $26.60. Number seven, Emilio, $5.58. Seeking Redemption, $33. Number nine, La Musique, $18. Ten, Winchester, $33. 11, Carolina Island, $31. 12, Squash, 11. Number 13, Extra Special, 20. And 14, Miss Steel Flying is $8. And then 15 through to 19, not getting a run. But one Fast Profit, the favourite there, $532, race one, a Winger Tui. They're right on start time, so we'll be heading there in just a moment. Quinny, what else have you got?
Well, we'll have a look at some of the A-League action kicking off tonight, because the Newcastle Jets, coming off a 7-0 defeat last week, in big trouble, and they are an outsider again tonight at $5 when they host the Brisbane Roar. The visiting Roar, despite the fact they've been conceding a lot of goals away from home, they've conceded 3 goals in their past 2 away games. They're a dominant favourite at $1.60 in from $1.90. So obviously, lots of problems for Newcastle at the moment. The correct score market, Brisbane winning 1-0, is a $5.50 favourite. Well, Thomas Broich has attracted support to score the first goal for the night. He's firmed from $9 in to $8, but safe to say the Jets, geez, it'd be nice. You just, even if they were just more competitive tonight, I think that'd be a good thing, because they've got lots of problems on and off the field. But let's go over to race number 1 at Wingatui.
Right about Misty Flying Jimmy, Two Shoes going forward. So too is Carolina Island. Right about Avowals heading up towards the lead as well, and Emilio is going with it. They're rocketing early. Jimmy Two Shoes bails out of that race and settles back behind them with La Musique and Winchester the inside. Over on its outer is Lucanda. Then came Seeking Redemption. 3 lengths away to Extra Special. Squash, Jimmy Two Shoes, and Fast Profit is last. Carolina Islander about to take them into the back from Emilio. Down on the inside, Misty Flying, running fourth, Avow the outside. No Rosettes is next on the inside of Jimmy Two Shoes. A length and a half to two back to Winchester. Settling on the outside of Winchester is Lucanda. About a length back behind those two. Misty La Musique, the outside. Getting around them is Jimmy Two Shoes out wider. Seeking Redemption up near the fence on the inside. Extra Special just between those are inside the 1200. Then Squash and Fast Profit is last. Carolina Island has the lead still. Jimmy Two, at least running up on the outside, is Mr. Spider-Man, who's made the move. Whips around the outside and heads for the front on the outside. Emilio keeps it out there, 3 wide. These three, they go at it as they run to the 800. Just behind those then came Avow on the outside. On its inside is Misty Flying. Jimmy Two Shoes next on the outside. Getting around that from the back with a nice sort of a run is Lucanda, who heads forward as they run to the 600. It's a big sweeping run from Lucanda, who takes it right up on the outside and joins Emilio in the lead. These two, they're about to turn the corner. Avow was in behind them, Misty Flying. Then came Mr. Spider-Man. La Musique and Jimmy Two Shoes are hooked to the outside. Homeward bound here, and Lucanda in front. Emilio on the inside. Misty Flying is coming at them both. Avow is in behind those. No Rosettes is trying to poke up on the inside. Misty Flying, Avow, and here's Fast Profit from the back, and he's mowing them down. Oh, game over. Last to first, Fast Profit bolts in. The minor money, the outside might be La Musique. Avow, Misty Flying, and at them late would have been Extra Special. Behind those, No Rosettes, Jimmy Two Shoes, Squash, Lucanda. Behind those came the next in would be Seeking Redemption, Winchester, Emilio, Mr. Spider-Man, and Carolina Island is the last to go by.
One and a photo there. One Fast Profit, $4.50, $2.40. Now a couple on the photo. The 9 La Musique, $4.50, and 5 Avow, $2.80. Quickly, we've got Matt Russell joining us now from Fox Sports. Morning,
thanks,
Matt.
Sean.
How are you? Good.
Very well, mate. The rugby league season up and running last week with the Auckland Nines, and tomorrow night on Fox Sports we get to see the Charity Shield, with South Sydney entering the Charity Shield as premiers for the first time. So St George Illawarra will be out to get them, out to make an early statement against the reigning champs.
Matt, Nick Quinn here. Great to chat to you. And what about South? The start they've made, I think a lot of people thought last week they might be just working their way into things, but they couldn't have been more impressive.
They were good, weren't they, in the Nines? It's a long way from your traditional rugby league, but still to go from last year's grand final and then start the new year with a bang, winning the Nines in extra time against a brave Cronulla side. A great statement from Michael Maguire and his men to say, we're here to win this tournament that some people see as a joke. Some coaches don't take it seriously. I love the attitude from Michael Maguire, and if that's the attitude that extends through their season, they're going to be great champs and will take some beating. And Isaac Luke was good, but was there any man better than Adam Reynolds, who picked up a slight hamstring twinge? I don't expect him to play tomorrow night in the Charity Shield. He's been named, but surely Michael Maguire doesn't risk his form and star halfback, who's full of confidence, having just re-signed a contract extension as well. So Adam Reynolds' hamstring strain was the only little slight. George Burgess came back on crutches, but again, he's been named tomorrow night. Will he play? Well, I suppose we'll have to wait until tomorrow.
I think it was great for the competition in terms of gaining credibility as well to see the reigning premiers come out and win it. Obviously, then it just goes to show that they're taking it seriously. And if you want to be successful, winning is a habit you get into. But you did mention the injuries. Going forward for the competition, is that a concern if these top line players are going to pick up niggles across the way? Will then clubs start to be hesitant to put out a full team?
Yeah, of course it will be, but they're going to get injured in training. They're going to get injured in other trials as well. I don't think you can pull players out of games because they might get injured. You know, you might get hit crossing the road, for goodness sake. So I'm just relieved there weren't any catastrophic season-ending injuries, seemingly, out of the nines, and I think we got off relatively light in terms of injuries. There are a couple there, but expect to see Adam Reynolds back during the pre-season at some stage, because Souths have a very, very busy lead-up to round one. From the nines, they go to the Charity Shield, they've got the Club World Challenge in England, they've got their return to Redfern trial, so it's a busy time for Michael Maguire and his men, isn't it?
Well, that was the next question I was going to ask you as well. For a team that, for a while, with all due respect, had been struggling to win trophies when it mattered, to get the monkey off the back and win that grand final, and then to potentially put three trophies in the cabinet before next season starts, how important could that be for the mentality of Souths going in to defend their premiership?
Well, Nick, you raise a good point. I think it's a cliche, isn't it? But winning is a habit. And if you try and ease into a premiership and keep your powder dry for mid-season or late in the year, who knows what mindset you might be in by then? Have you not had the wins that some people expect you to have? A winning team is a happy team. It keeps the wolves at bay. I think it's a good approach by Michael Maguire. And, you know, just looking ahead until tomorrow night and these trial matches and what they can achieve, well, they've lost Sam Burgess. They've lost their Clive Churchill medalist and the star defender and also attacker from last season. But especially his defence, I think, goes understated. So we'll get to see how Glenn Stewart goes in these trials. We'll get to see how Tim Grant goes in these trials. And if they're playing with the right attitude and winning, and those players are helping and confident, then as a result, South Sydney head into rounds 1, 2, 3 and 4, etc., in a much better state than they would otherwise.
Matt, have we seen many young players blooded through this competition?
Through the nines competition, yeah, that's been a real feature because a lot of the stars came off the Four Nations tournament last year. They had a late finish to the year, and for preservation's sake, they were kept on ice while the coaches looked to their second-tier players. So we got to see some of the brightest talents out of the national youth competition. We got to see a few fringe first graders. And that's the benefit of it. They've got nothing to lose. They lay it all on the line. You get to see some wonderful highlights. And you only need a sprinkling of regular NRL talent to have some great rugby league. You know, Josh Dugan was there and he scored a couple of fantastic tries, arguably tries of the tournament. So I love the nines because you get to see your club down the track a few years, perhaps. You get to see what talent is coming through and what talent might be called on mid-season during Origin or late in the year when injuries really start to bite.
Now, tomorrow night, do you expect South to be too good against St. George, who have got a pretty strong team in?
Yeah, you have to expect South Sydney to be too good because they're the reigning premiers, because they've won the nines, and because the attitude from Michael Maguire is we want to field the strongest team possible and win as many games as we can in the lead-up to the premiership. There's no Greg Inglis, but what a replacement in Alex Johnston. He was the leading try scorer last year, so I'll get to see him in the number one jersey. There will be no Adam Reynolds, I think, but then we get to see other contenders like Liam come through, and Liam Coleman, I'm speaking about Tugger Coleman's son, we might get to see him come off the bench. So there's plenty of excitement for South fans to watch this game and see what's happening. I expect South Sydney to be too strong, but I also expect St. George Illawarra to surprise a few people. I'm a big fan of Paul McGregor. I reckon he's going to have an impact as a coach. It's his first full season, so don't underestimate the Dragons. But at this stage, as the odds tell us, the Bunnies should be too strong.
All right, Matt, good to catch up. We'll talk to you next Friday too.
And, sure, Nick, have a look. Good on you.
Good on you. Thanks, Matt. Matt Russell there from Fox Sports. Now, it is 20 past 10, Sky Sports Radio, and this is TAB Sports Talk, looking to another of the ball codes, this time AFL, GWS, and Jonathan Patton joins us now. Nick, morning, Jonathan.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Now, how are you? That's what we've got to ask first of all, because you're heading off to the US for some knee rehab.
Yeah, mate. Heading over next Saturday, over to Philadelphia for a week, just to do some intense rehab over there with an expert, so really looking forward to that and just getting away from Sydney for a bit, which will be good. And feeling pretty good at the moment.
Jonathan, Nick Quinn here. Thanks for joining us. Now, the rehab guru you're going to see is Bill Knowles. Now, he's worked with some of the best sportsmen in the world, Tiger Woods, Peyton Manning, Frank Lampard, Johnny Wilkinson. So we know you've had a lot of bad luck with these knee injuries, but hopefully the best in the business can help sort it out.
Yeah, that's it, mate. Just going over just to see, get another idea of training and step it up another level. And as you said, with the guys he's worked with, has been pretty impressive. So if he can help me that extra 1%, then it's worth it. And yeah, like I said, it's really good that I'm going over there and I can get away from football for a little bit, but at the same time, still working on my knee.
Now, unfortunately, it's not the first time you've had to go overseas because of these knee problems. You went to Sweden in 2012. What did you take from that trip?
Yeah, I went there in 2012. That was for tendonitis that I had on my other knee, which is all good now. But I went over there without seeing snow, and it was about minus 20 degrees when I got there. And I went there for surgery, which is a bit different. I'm going over to America just to do pure rehab, so I can get up to a bit more in America and a bit more sightseeing, which is good, whereas in Sweden it was more just get the surgery and get out of there sort of thing.
Maybe taking a few NBA games as well while you're over there?
Yeah, well, I'm in New York while the Cavs are playing, so definitely going to get a ticket for that, so that'll be pretty good.
Now, Jonathan, you've had two knee reconstructions. Have they both been the same knee?
Yeah, that's been the same knee, yeah.
Has the injury, when it's happened, has what's happened been the same sort of thing each time, or has it been different sort of injuries?
Oh, no, it's just both times it's been straight ACL, which is sounds a bit weird, but which is better than having a lot of guys that do their knees sort of can do an ACL, yeah, and a medial ligament, whereas both times I've somewhat been lucky of just doing the ACL, which is good for the long-term longevity of the knee. And, so everything else in my knees is fine. It's just the ACL that's gone both times.
But what I'm talking about is the way you fell. Was it a similar thing both times? Someone land on you, or was it different times, different circumstances both times?
Yeah, well, it was a bit different both times. I was landing the second time, and I got tackled the first time, so it was a little bit different both times.
Now, well, yeah, so obviously it's not good, but we're going to look forward and look at the positives which have been. And from your young career already, there has been lots of positives. Obviously, the injury's not one, but the 2011 number one draft pick. So you've played 29 games, and in 2014, I think it's safe to say, you produced your best footy. Two games that really come to mind was the big win you led the Giants to over the Lions at the Gabba. You kicked three goals that night. Do you reckon that might be the best game you've had to date?
It'll probably be up there. Yeah, we had a good win up there in Brisbane that day, but probably my most memorable game win was the round one against Sydney Swans, where it was my first game back, and to beat the Swans was pretty amazing.
Well, that was a huge upset at Spotless Stadium as well, and did that give the boys a lot of confidence going forward that I know we're on the right track, and we already, when we produce our best footy, can beat the best team in the comp?
Yeah, definitely, and you know, we sort of thought that about the whole year. You know, sort of, if you have a bad game, you know, you can just look back at that game and think, well, we bet one of the best teams in the league. So, you know, we know we're capable of beating the best teams, and it's just about doing that consistently.
Jonathan, were you there when Kevin Sheedy was there?
Yeah, I was here.
Has there been much difference between his style of coaching and Leon Cameron's?
It's been a fair bit different. Leon's obviously pretty fresh out of the game, so he, he's very he's very tactical and you know, with the structures and all that sort of stuff. Whereas Sheeds was very, very old school, and I've probably listened to the best speeches I've ever heard from Sheeds. So they're both different coaches, but they're both very, very good coaches.
Now, Sheeds often used to say he regarded as playing by quarters because he knew he only had a young side, but now some of the guys are getting older, another year or two under the belt. That stamina, we can probably look forward to this year from GWS, a lot more stamina, I would imagine.
Yeah, especially, now a lot of us will be 21, 22, yeah. So I think now, we'll be running at games a lot better, and the boys are absolutely tearing up pre-season. So even compared to last year, I think everyone's stepping up another level, and especially with the players that we added in the off-season has been great. And it should be a pretty exciting year.
Now, as frustrating as it has been from a personal perspective with these injuries, is it a little bit easier to cope with the fact that knowing that everything the club's doing is building for probably another 2-3 years away in terms of the premiership opportunity, is that making it a little bit easier to cope with knowing that patience is just something that the whole club's showing right now?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it helps, but it's definitely good to know that, you know, I'll be back when the team's, you know, on the rise. And I guess I've missed out a lot of footy where the team wasn't winning too much, and I played 19 games last year, which was the most I've played in the year by far. And so I think it's just knowing what's ahead of us and staying positive and just thinking about the future, whereas you don't really want to get too down on what's happened.
And one of those most exciting things in the future is the partnership you're forming up forward with Jeremy Cameron. You two seem to work really well together, and going forward, hopefully it can be one of the most dominant four duos in footy.
Yeah, me and Jez are pretty close. You know, we get along really well and we understand each other's games, and we're both two completely different players. I think we complement each other very well, whereas we're not two. You know, we do different things to each other, but you know, we're both very unselfish in how we play, and we don't really care who kicks the goals or takes the marks as long as we're working well together and we're winning games.
And you've also spent a bit of time living with Heath Shaw, I believe. What's that been like? Bit of a character?
Yeah, he's a bit of a character, mate. There's not too many quiet nights at the house. He's always yelling and always talking. He's pretty funny. So, no, he's really good to live with. He's a really good guy. And, yeah, it's been interesting, but it's been really good.
I reckon, Jonathan, you only have to turn your back and every club would have a headlock on Jeremy Cameron. We all love him playing on our side. But, gee, you got some nice young blokes coming through. Lockie Whitfield, yeah, guys like that.
No, I think this year, you know, we got Adam Thomason, who's going to be, who already is a very good player, and James Stewart, who's another good young forward coming up, and I think he's going to surprise a few people this year. So there's still we've still got that much talent coming through from our reserves into our seniors.
And another player that's obviously created headlines throughout his career, Tom Scully, hasn't had a lot of luck with injuries like yourself, but hopefully this year he can stay sound, because when we've seen him at his best, that free front running outside footy, is one of the most exciting players in the competition to watch.
Yeah, Tom, he's just coming back from a little knee injury, so he's really, really, really dominating pre-season at the moment. So I think when he gets back to his best, he's going to scare a lot of oppositions, like a lot of other young midfielders.
Good on you, Jonathan. Good to catch up. Jonathan Patton there from GWS to getting set Rangiora. Numbers winger Tui, 114-9, one fast profit, 452-40. 14 Miss T Flying got into second, paid 290. The 9 Lamy Zeke was third, 455 was fourth. He's the second at Rangiora.
And Firebreak came out in the gallop, and it's a pretty wild gallop too. Rehabit's going to go straight to the lead and cross artfully. Coming over Speedy Jack and Graduate under fire. Three wide to fourth, pressing forward. Firebreak gallops to the outside part of the track and might have some broken gear because she is in a bad break. Motu Pathfinder settles down three back the inside, and a length and a half away is Brute Udanville in front of Smoke and Chick. Incomparable went to the pegs from Lexington Lad, and then came Give the Job to Barnsey. Next is Mighty Peruvian, followed by Supreme Sign and Reclaw Supreme. And Fire breaks up about midfield and out near the outside rail, but she's back into a pace now. The leader is Graduate under fire, with Matt Purvis by a length and a half. Running in second spot, Rare Habit, and parked up third, Speedy Jack. Mid-race move coming from Give the Job to Barnsey. Three back the inside is Artfully, and on the move, three wide, two Mighty Peruvian. Next in between horses as they make their way up the side is Brute Udanville. Plenty of moves here from the big field. And on the inside is Motu Pathfinder. Reclaw Supreme's on the slide forward. Well, back in the race then is Lexington Lad. It's racing back with Incomparable, and amongst the tail enders with them is Smoke and Chick. And Firebreak remains pretty wide on the course. Down the far side, 8.50 to go. And the lead Graduate under fire. Half a length clear over Mighty Peruvian. Leaders back running third as Rare Habit. Next then is a Give the Job to Barnsey and Supreme Sign three wide around them. Over next to the pegs is Artfully from Reclaw Supreme. Speedy Jack between horses and Motu Pathfinders down on the pegs. Well, back in the event is Brute Udanville, followed next then by on the inside of runners is Incomparable. Smoke and Chick amongst the tail enders too. And Brute Udanville's just up ahead of them and three wide. The leader is Graduate under fire by a head. Mighty Peruvian's running second, and next is Rare Habit waiting on the Mainland Metals passing lane. Give the Job to Barnsey, racing between horses, and three wide Supreme Sign outside the lead group. Artfully's on the inside from Speedy Jack, then came Reclaw Supreme, Motu Pathfinder, Lexington Lad, Brute Ute Anvil, Smokin' Chicken, Incomparable, Graduate Under Fire, turns in a length on Mighty Peruvian, and that pair got away a bit. They put two lengths on Rare Habit, and Artfully, and Motu Pathfinder right up against the rail, but it's all Graduate Under Fire, has a winning break. Mighty Peruvian, Motu Pathfinder zipping through on the inside, it's flying home, but Graduate Under Fire, easy win, beat Motu Pathfinder and Mighty Peruvian. Speedy Jack zipped home late too from Reclaw Supreme, and then came Artfully. Next in is Give the Job to Barnsey from Incomparable, Brute Ute Anvil, and then Spoken Chick, Rare Habit, Lexington Lad, Supreme Sign, and Firebreak. You've got to know that wild gallop at the start was pulled up midway down the back.
9, 10, 14 there, Rangiora. Number 9 gets the money, Graduate Under Fire, and it will pay 3.